According to the Department of Homeland Security, more than 600,000 people overstayed their U.S. visas last year. The Trump administration has prioritized finding and deporting people who overstay their visas. But for many of them, overstaying is not the plan. Ashley Cleek has a story of one couple from Colombia.
This is not how Francia and her husband Jorge expected their life to look. Living in a cramped room in New York City with a two-month-old, working round the clock to pay back the money they borrowed to come here.
It
was just not how we had originally planned it or expected it. And we didn't want to become undocumented people here in the U.S.
But they did. Jorge and Francia came to the U.S. from Colombia about a year ago. Their plan was to work, save money, and go to Canada before their six-month tourist visas here expired. But that's not what happened. Jorge and Francia are from Cali, a city in Colombia struggling with violence.
We felt just up to our necks from all this violence. There was always this order and disorder, and we always were somehow close to these situations of violence.
Francia narrowly missed a deadly bombing in a public plaza, apparently linked to clashes between the government and guerrilla groups. Later, Francia says, her husband Jorge was robbed at gunpoint at the internet cafe he owned.
And the man who came and robbed him, he wasn't wearing a mask. You could see his face. So Jorge was scared. If he filed a report, if he denounced what had happened, the man could kill him. He knew where we lived, and so we didn't file a report for fear.
They decided it was time to leave, perhaps to Canada. They could apply to study or work there. But Francia says they hit wall after wall.
The system is just not made for people from middle class like we are. Every time we would try to improve ourselves and do something more, and they would just put more obstacles against us. So we learned English and we became bilingual. But then they said, no, you also need French.
So they went to New York City on a tourist visa and planned to cross into Canada illegally after saving some cash. They figured in Canada, they'd be able to find a way to stay. So they rented a room in New York and found some work. Jorge at a deli, Francia as a maid.
And we knew it wasn't going to be easy. We were ready to do hard work. We were ready to do cleaning or things that were not requiring their education that we have. And we've done it, you know, with love, with patience in our hearts.
Then Francia got pregnant. A welcome surprise, albeit a little early. It meant they wanted to get to Canada and set up life there even faster. Francia found a smuggler online who said he'd take them to Canada, but it would cost them about $1,200. They emptied out their savings to pay. Francia was 6 months pregnant. Jorge quit his job. They packed their things, and the day they were supposed to leave for the border, the smuggler never showed up. Jorge says he called the guy over and over to try and get their money back. Eventually, he gave up.
Sabemos la realidad que nosotros somos indocumentados y que él cualquier...
He knows that we're undocumented, so we could get deported or who knows.
It left Jorge and Francia with no money, no plan, and their U.S. tourist visas were up. They were now undocumented.
Es que es como algo irónico.
In this country, you have opportunities for education, but people who don't have documents, they can't get to those opportunities. And in Colombia, you can have all the documents, but there are no opportunities.
Opportunities is what Jorge and Francia sought out for themselves and for their newborn son, Isaac. During her pregnancy, Francia and Jorge made a book for their son. It's decorated with stickers and says, Te amamos, we love you, on the front. There are pages of letters to little Isaac about how his parents were waiting for his birth.
Happy New Year.
Now that they're a family of three, the pressure is intense. And Francia is terrified of being deported. Since Trump was elected, there have been times when she was afraid to leave the house. That fear convinced the family to try to head for Canada again. And here, Francia wanted to speak in English.
I'm not a paper. I'm a person. I don't want to continue spending my life fighting.
They found someone else who'd take them into Canada. So recently, Francia, Jorge, and little Isaac left New York and are now in Montreal, hoping to find a way to stay there legally. For The World, Ashley Gleick, New York.
Last year, more than 500,000 people overstayed their visas to the United States. That immediately puts them in legal limbo, and the Trump administration is pushing harder than ever to deport them. But is it really so cut and dried? Reporter Ashley Cleek has a story of one woman who came to the U.S. with her daughter and overstayed. And we should note that this story involves descriptions of abuse that some listeners might find disturbing.
The woman in this story asked not to be identified. I'll call her Sarah. She was hesitant to talk. She never shared her story publicly. At first, the main reason for overstaying her visa seemed straightforward. It was for her 2-year-old daughter.
My daughter is... she's beautiful, she's smart, she is autistic.
It was 2001. Sarah's from Granada, and she says services there for children with autism felt limited. Her daughter was born in America, so she's a U.S. citizen. Sarah isn't, but she knew there were better options in the U.S. Then, about 20 minutes into our interview, she tells me the other reason she went to the U.S., to escape her abusive husband.
I don't know if I should speak about the abuse, should I?
If you want to.
Oh, okay. I was undergoing a lot of abuse at the hands of my husband. I was pushed, urinated on. I must have heard the words, "You're stupid," so many times that I honestly believed it. I think one evening in particular, he drank. He had threatened to kill me. And I'm so sorry I get emotional. But he was very angry, livid.
Sarah says that time was different because her infant daughter was in the room.
I'm not sure what happened, but for some reason, he stopped and he just walked out of the house, but he locked us in. So I just had the wherewithal to gather all my documents, passports, birth certificates, knowing that I have to escape this.
This was all happening as Sarah noticed something different about her newborn daughter. She decided that going to the U.S., leaving her husband and getting her child help was best. Sarah got a tourist visa, and in New York, her daughter was diagnosed with severe autism and started treatment.
And then I realized that my visa is about to run out. So I write to immigration and ask for an extension.
Sarah got a 6-month extension and then looked for a way to stay illegally. At the time, she didn't know there were possible options, like asylum, for women who flee domestic violence. Instead, she saw that visa expiration date closing in.
I felt helpless again because I felt as long as I had that visa, there was so much I could do.
With her visa running out, Sarah says she didn't know what to do. Her daughter was getting good treatment, and Sarah feared her husband in Granada. So she stayed.
Living here hasn't been easy. And the major reason for the difficulty is immigration, because I cannot simply take a resume and present it to get a job. There's a deep sense of just stagnancy.
Right now, Sarah works under the table as an aide at an elementary school. But when school's out in the summer, it's hard for her to pay her bills. She relies on food pantries, food stamps the government gives her daughter, and on friends. For years, Sarah's also been working towards a BA in English at Hunter College in New York. She plans to graduate this year, but says since President Trump's election, her fear of being deported has increased.
And it's going down the checklist, and eventually it will get to me. That's my thought process. It's very scary.
Her daughter's now 18 and going to a school for autistic adults. Sarah spent about 15 years without any documentation. She recently applied for asylum, based on the domestic abuse she suffered. Asylum isn't easy to get. More than half the people who try for it are denied. Sarah will appear before an immigration judge in January.
What a terrible position to be in. Reporter Ashley Cleek joins me now. So that was the second of two stories that we've heard from you this week about people who came to the U.S. and overstayed their visas, Ashley. It's not a new trend, but there are new numbers coming from the Department of Homeland Security. They're now helping us understand just how many people overstay. What are we seeing?
I mean, so first, it's really a big deal that we have these numbers. Last year was the first report in 2 decades. So we have numbers from last year and this year. And those numbers show that the rate of overstays is going up a little bit. Of like the 50 million people who get visas to the U.S. each year, about 630,000 people overstay, which is a pretty low rate. It's like 1.25%. But the thing is that now that we have the numbers, the thought is that this could be a group that the government would focus on in terms of immigration.
Do the numbers tell us anything about the people in this group, like where they primarily come from, who overstays? Is it students or tourists? What does that show?
So it's people from all over. Really, every country is represented. But the countries with the highest numbers of people who overstay are Canada, Mexico, Brazil, China, India, the UK, Germany, Colombia. So these are countries where citizens can get tourist and student visas to the U.S. And that's actually the thing that's the most interesting, is that the highest rate of overstays are students. So somebody who comes in with a student visa and either finishes school and overstays, or, you know, maybe doesn't finish school and just kind of tries to get a job and, you know, their visa expires.
Mm. What are the rules then? What happens if you overstay your visa, and what changes have we seen to those rules under Trump?
Yeah, it really depends on how long you overstay your visa. If you stay fewer than 180 days, you could be barred from coming back to the U.S. for up to 3 years. If you stay in the U.S. for more than a year after your visa's expired, you could be barred for up to 10 years, which is a pretty long time.
Right. And it occurs to me that the woman you introduced us to a moment ago, I mean, missing her renewal appointment, I mean, there's a lot at stake for her, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot. And, you know, she spent 15 years without any kind of status. So, you know, she missed asylum. You have to apply for asylum in the first year that you're here. So now she really has to make the case of, you know, why she missed that appointment. She has to give good reasons as to why she couldn't apply for asylum. And that's really difficult to do.
How harsh do you think life for people who overstay their visas could get under Trump?
I mean, it could get really harsh, right? And, you know, a lawyer that I spoke to in New York named Raymond Lahoud, he said that he's heard from people that once their visa expires, immigration is contacting them or coming to their house, you know, that there's more focus on, you know, the day your visa expires that you leave the country. But there's no evidence that deportations are up or that there's really been any change under Trump so far.
So somebody like Sarah, the woman in your story earlier, Ashley, how concerned is she about how much more harsh things could get for people who overstay their visas?
I mean, she said she's really nervous. And she said, you know, the rhetoric around the election and then since the election has really made her very anxious. You know, she's anxious when she sees a police officer. She's anxious that if anyone ever asks for her documents, she doesn't have them. I think it's telling that it was really difficult to get people to go on the record about these stories. No one wants to come forward and say that they've overstayed at this point. No one wants to out themselves.
Reporter Ashley Clegg, thanks very much for breaking this all down for us.
Thanks so much, Marco.